It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Bored. And we're back 3 weeks later.
3 weeks later.
It is now, I almost said February, November 14th.
Wow.
Right?
And next week we have to record a double because of Thanksgiving.
No, next week we're... Oh, sorry.
In their world.
Yes. I was like, no, next week we're not recording. Or the two ones after that, William. You know this.
I know, after tonight we won't see each other for a whole month.
Yes,
that'll be weird.
Yes. But from when you all are hearing this, we will see each other a week later. As this is playing, I'm probably in... I'm at the beach in Oregon, hanging out with my folks.
I'm just in Coralville, not recording the podcast.
Yeah, no, I got a very, very complicated trip. We're going to fly in to Portland, drive down to Kaiser, which is where my sister lives in the old family home. And then the next morning, we're going to drive back up to McMinnville to get my niece, bring her down for the weekend. Hang out with them all till like Monday. I mean, I probably have to take the niece back before then. Then we go to the beach, and then we hang out with my parents at the beach until that Friday. And then we go to Seattle because that Saturday and Sunday is Geek Girl Con. And we're attending that with my youngest sister-in-law. And then after that, we're taking a trip via clipper ship over to Victoria, British Columbia. Stay overnight there, then come back from that the next day to Seattle again, and then fly back home. And then the day after I fly back home, record some damn podcasts with you.
I'm sure I've asked this before, but I don't remember what you said. Was Bigfoot a big thing when you were growing up? Like, people talk about Bigfoot?
I mean,
where people talk about Bigfoot.
Bigfoot's from there.
Yeah.
Never gave a shit about Bigfoot. I don't understand why I never gave a shit about Bigfoot. Like, I don't think I was I think I liked cryptids.
Yeah.
I just didn't.
Bigfoot just didn't.
I think Bigfoot was just super unsexy to me. Like, the Loch Ness Monster, way cooler. It's like a dinosaur, you know? But Bigfoot, I'm like, so like an orangutan, but beefier. Like, Bigfoot to me always just looked like an orangutan, but like stands up.
I always thought Bigfoot was cool.
And
whenever anyone said that, I mean, creatures like Bigfoot have been
and he wasn't
reported.
Even scary because like he wouldn't like kill people and shit. He would just take blurry photos.
He's been reported, he, she, whatever. It's been reported pretty much all over the country.
Oh yeah, it's because of the whole species.
But the place where you hear about Bigfoot the most was in the Northwest, and I was always just a little bit envious of the Northwest to have so much Bigfoot.
We had so many big feet.
But it wasn't a big deal to you?
Not really.
Huh.
I
would have loved that.
I feel like I never bought into it, and I bought into a lot of things, but I feel like Bigfoot never.
Oh, well, I don't
No, but that's the thing. I think even as a little kid, most stuff I believed in as a little kid.
Oh, okay.
But I don't think I ever believed in Bigfoot, so I just never really cared.
I believed in and virtually just, nothing. But I still thought it was cool.
I think it was a really shallow thing. I think Bigfoot was very unattractive to me compared to most cryptid things and all that. It just looked dumb and hairy, and big feet was like its whole deal. And so I was never into that. It wasn't cool to me. I don't know why.
Yeah, I never believed in like the Loch Ness Monster, or Bigfoot, or any of that stuff. But I thought the stories were interesting and fun. Kind of like alien stories. I never have believed in alien stories. But
I also never got into alien abductions. Same thing. I guess I didn't find those stories interesting either. It's like The Bigfoot stories are always like, we were out somewhere, and then we saw this big thing from a long way away. And if we're close enough sometimes, it smelled really bad. Like, I prefer the, like, the Mothman ones where, like, fuckers died. Like, they were out there and they died. And I was young enough that I could totally believe the stories that had no survivors without thinking, then who told the story? Like, I could fall for that all the time.
The Mothman stories are interesting because there are Jersey Devil stories that are very similar. Excuse me. And there's an Iowa story that's very similar. In Van Meter, Iowa, there was a creature that was seen by lots of people, and they shot at it and all this stuff. That had, they didn't see something with red eye. It was a winged creature,
okay.
Very Mothman-like, very Jersey Devil-like, but they didn't report it having red eyes. They reported it having a red light in the middle of its head.
So it was a Cylon.
I guess.
A winged Cylon.
But,
so when was this?
This was like the early 20th century.
All right.
I want to say the 1910s. And, but the reports of it are very, you know, the newspaper report of it in Van Meter, which is a kind of a smallish town, I guess, just west of Des Moines in Dallas County.
Mm-hmm.
The reports of it are, you know, these are reputable people in the community. They were working late in their shop or whatever, and they came out and they saw the thing flying around. Lots of people saw it. Lots of people gave a similar testimony about it. They chased it to a mine, and they said, and they saw other ones there with the one that they chased, and these creatures disappeared into the mine, and they never saw them again.
Mm.
Now, the interesting thing about that is there's lots of, also a lot of coal mines in West Virginia where the Mothman is. Where the Jersey Devil is, though, there aren't mines.
Well, and honestly, the Jersey Devil's different.
It is
the
different.
Jersey Devil is like they took every other cryptid and smushed them together.
You know, like a horse face,
and it has a
stuff.
Kangaroo body and
well,
shit.
Well, some people disagree on that, but another interesting
duck feet. One hand is made out of fudge. I don't even. It's
another
nuts.
Interesting thing is, not only are those three things quite similar, but the a lot of Native American people across the nation have a belief in a creature that is variously called in English translations underwater panther. And it's a creature that will live in lakes. It'll live in springs. Okay. And
for those of you who can't actually see this at home, he did like jump scare Vincent Price fingers at me. When he said springs.
And often they're...
Like, that was the scary word. There.
Often they're...
Springs.
They're the enemies of the thunderers or the thunderbirds. So okay. In a lot of cultures, they're kind of two sides of the same coin, almost a yin and yang kind of thing.
They, to me, just sound like two rejects from Super Friends.
But...
Sorry, Thunderbird. Sorry, underwater panther.
But
we don't need you.
A lot of these underwater panther creatures also resemble...
You really got to use creatures. One of the native names because underwater panther just sounds like the silliest
well,
thing ever.
Unfortunately, well, to call them underwater panther is, first of all, that's, if I pick a name, it's picking a specific tribal form. And also, I can't even pronounce a lot of those names. So I've often thought it would be fun to invent a cryptid that basically is this underwater panther creature and connect it to the Jersey Devil and to Mothman and to the Van Meter Visitor is what it's called, the creature in Van Meter. Like they're all the same creature. And to tell stories about that, but I've not
They did it. It was a sci-fi TV show called Sanctuary. It wasn't that good.
But, you know, there's...
No, you get around it. You just use a Nagloshi, a skinwalker. Those are shapeshifters, so they could be all these things.
That's true. There's a lot of people connect Mothman, though, to the Curse of Cornstalk. Are you familiar with that story?
No.
Back in the late 1700s, a Shawnee chief by the name of Cornstalk, he and the Shawnee fought against Americans during the Revolutionary War.
Say colonizers. That's better.
Yeah. And And eventually they stopped doing that. And Cornstalk said, hey, okay, we're not going to do that anymore. We're not going to fight Americans anymore. And he tried to get all of his people to stop waging war. And I think eventually he moved to, you know, you've got West Virginia and Ohio just right across the river there. He settled in that south eastern part of Ohio.
Okay.
Okay, so...
I don't know that part of the country at all.
After a while... Well, see, my ancestors are from there. My dad's mom's family is from that
That's
area.
Why I've avoided it.
And he eventually... he went to Point Pleasant, I guess, in West Virginia. It's right across the river from where he was living in Ohio, or what would become Ohio. And some... gung-ho soldier there who was mad at some other group of Shawnee harassed him and the other Shawnee with him.
Okay, like, hey, we're just trying to have a nice picnic.
And he eventually, Cornstalk and his son and a few other people were eventually killed. And legend has it that before he died, he cursed that whole area, and that eventually, the Mothman is somehow connected to all of that. The interesting thing about that is not only were my dad's mom's ancestors in the area then, but
they're the ones who killed him.
Thank goodness, no. But
they wouldn't tell you if they were.
One of those ancestors was stationed in, because the Revolutionary War was still going on technically, and he was stationed in Wheeling, not that far away from where Cornstalk was killed. But another interesting thing is, some years earlier, Cornstalk or some of his people had massacred some settlers in somewhere in what would become West Virginia. It wasn't West Virginia until after the Civil War.
And they had cursed them with Bigfoot.
But one of the women who'd become a widow from that and was abducted by the Shawnee was a great 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 aunt of mine.
Oh.
And she ended up marrying Cornstalk's son. So
the one who got murdered?
Yeah.
All right.
So I have a lot of family connections to that whole story. And
see, and I'm very familiar with Cornstalk as a particular branch of community theater in the Peoria area, like Summerstock, but they call it Cornstalk.
Oh, that's interesting.
So every time you say it, I'm like that, like my niece has done Cornstalk Kids like several years in a row. So I'm like, why would all these actors curse those people?
But how familiar are you with the whole Mothman thing?
Very little.
Oh, I find it all pretty fascinating. I mean, I don't believe in any of it, but I find it really fascinating. And I don't believe in the Cornstalk curse either, but it's fun to know all my family connections, and so sometimes I can say that our family's cursed from back in the Cornstalk days.
I mean, people just have to hang out with you and like
but it would be both sides of my family. It's my mom's family was the woman who married Cornstalk's son. It was my dad's family who was from that area and had
shot him.
No, there were people stationed in the army just north of there. So if he really cursed the whole area, that my ancestors and where they some of them still live now would have been in that area, just right across the river from Point Pleasant.
I don't think I should hang out with you anymore. Oh, Mothman's gonna show up. That's him now at the door.
Mothman.
Like, he's here with us this evening. Do you recognize this voice? I don't know what sound Mothman makes.
I don't think the Van Meter Visitor made a particular... Well, maybe he did.
I'm just confused because they saw a bunch of them and they call it the Van Meter Visitor. Like,
well, but there's
a bunch. So it's like the tourists. Oh, that's the thing. They lived in the mine and they were visiting downtown.
Yeah.
Like, well, when you do one of those bus trips to Galena.
I mean, you know, they were winged creatures.
They just want to do some shopping, pick up some Italian food.
I don't know
food.
If they thought they were aliens or something. I don't know.
Anywhere to get margaritas around here. Like,
although, this was early enough that they wouldn't have thought they were aliens, probably. I mean, wasn't it kind of later in history when people started to think aliens? Or were people thinking about aliens, like, in the early
20th century? I have no idea. Do you want me to just state
no, I'm just
what
asking.
It was? I have no clue.
Okay.
This is not my area of expertise.
Oh, okay.
The Simpsons didn't talk about
it. I find all this extremely interesting,
I
even though I don't believe in any of it.
The Simpsons in a meeting today.
I just think it's so fun. Is that really that unusual?
Well, this was like a big meeting with like a bunch of people who don't know me very well.
Oh, okay. You brought up the Simpsons anyway.
Because we were doing what's called a SWOT, which is the thing where you do a little quadrant thing and you list your strengths, your weaknesses, your opportunities, and your threats.
Okay. And that spells SWAT.
Yeah, exactly. So people were talking about some place where they were, where the weaknesses were always referred to as opportunities. And I was like, I always go with when the Simpsons talked about how the Chinese have the same word for crisis and opportunity, which of course the Simpsons didn't invent that idea. I've heard that ever since I was a kid. I have no idea if it's true, but it's the thing that the Chinese word for crisis and opportunity is the same one. But Lisa tells this to Homer and Homer says, that's right. Crisitunity. And so I love talking about crisitunities. But
did you ever watch SWAT when you were a kid? I think I watched it a little bit.
I think I was too young.
Oh, that's right. You're a lot younger than me. I keep forgetting that.
I'll put it this way. I saw a little bit of the remake of Adam 12.
Remake?
Yeah, they rebooted it in like the 80s or something.
Huh. I don't remember that.
I don't think it lasted very long or was very successful.
We watched Adam 12 and Emergency and Dragnet. I think Dragnet might have been in syndication when I was watching it, though. That I don't know. Dragnet was awesome. That was an awesome show, man. You probably never watched that.
No.
I didn't think the movie was that bad. A lot of Dragnet fans didn't like it, but
I don't think the movie does well for being a Dragnet movie. Like, I don't think it does proper obedience to the... I don't think it was anything like the original, except for a few heavy-handed jokes. Like, it was just too goofy and crazy in ways that weren't... Dragnet was very dry.
Well, it...
I mean, it was supposed to be funny, but it was done very dry.
It was funny, though, man. Because, you know, the people that they were interviewing were always... Not always, but oftentimes pretty outrageous. But, you know, the cops were, like, very stoic. You know, they didn't just the facts, ma'am.
What was the guy's name who went on to be Colonel Potter?
Sherman?
Morgan, yes. Henry Morgan? No.
Morgan. Morgan was either first or last name. I don't remember.
Just the other day, I heard something where somebody played a sound of, like, a cartoon character or whatever, and I was like, I have no idea who that character is, but I know that voice, and that's the guy who played Colonel Potter. Yeah, I'm old enough that I watched MASH when it was still airing.
Are you old enough that you watched it with the original cast, or was it with...
I don't know, because it also had a lot of syndication. So I don't know at what point I was watching the current ones. Because, I mean, I've seen it all. I've probably seen every single episode of MASH.
Because I think the first, did you see with Trapper John or with...
Like I said, I don't know. I've seen all the Trapper John ones and all the Honeycutt ones.
Oh, okay.
But by then, I mean, it's been in syndication so much.
And the McLean Stevenson ones.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, I've never, not weirdly, I never saw any of the spinoffs
I knew.
but the actual weird fact here is I've never seen the movie.
Oh, I think I've seen the movie.
The original film, and I feel like I should.
I never did get used to McLean Stevenson leaving or the guy who played Trapper John.
I was just young enough that it was real. It wasn't a cast change for me. Like, Henry died to me. And, like, Trapper, I admit, I felt very betrayed by Trapper leaving. And I always had this problem, like, I couldn't stand Frank. But then when Winchester came in, I hated that they had replaced Frank with Winchester.
Yeah, I couldn't.
But in the grand scheme, I think Winchester was a more interesting character, by a long shot. Because he was more... real. I mean, he was also really weird, but like Burns was just so
over the top,
ridiculously non-human.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, and I loved Henry, but I loved the one thing that I don't think ever I got used to or whatever is Radar going. When Radar left, it sucked, and it never like I was never like, no, I'm used to this, because all we did is we just gave Klinger a bigger part.
Mm-hmm.
And don't get me wrong, I like Klinger, but I'm like, we already had Klinger. You didn't give me anything new. You just took away Radar, and I loved Radar.
Well, in a way, you took away Klinger, too, because he stopped doing the whole I'm trying crazy.
Yeah,
trying
he didn't cross-dress.
Yeah, I'm not trying to get out of the...
He was the clerk now, so he had to be normal.
Everything
mostly.
Was normal with him now.
I will admit, his arguments on the radio trying to get stuff were funnier than Radar's. But I don't know. Maybe, again, because being a kid, like, Radar was so the POV for me.
Oh, really?
Radar, Wesley Crusher... Anytime there was a young, clueless male, that's who I was relating to.
Well, that character was from Iowa, Tumwa, I think.
Yep.
Tumwa, Iowa. You know, that's what he's talked about.
I feel like I'm... this part of the conversation is so boring that even though I'm saying it, I'm bored with it. I don't even know. Like, we really lost... Unless you're super into MASH, I feel like this is not... Hello, everyone! Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat podcast. The only podcast. It's like a say what you see thing. The only podcast that's looking at a clock.
The only podcast that features Kaiser Sose.
Yeah, he's sitting over there. He's not going to have any lines, but he's over there. No, I feel like that's not good anymore, given who Kaiser Soze turns out to be in this modern age.
Well, it's just like... how the name Kaiser Soze was arrived at in the story. You don't remember?
I forget now. I mean, I know it was all shit that was just around the room.
Exactly. And you said that, so that's what made me think of it.
But I'm like, I don't remember what that specific one was.
I think a teacup or something, and I don't remember what it was. The stuff you saw. Character stuff.
I used to worship Kevin Spacey. I thought he was amazing.
Mm.
And the thing is, and this is important, all the horrible shit I now know about him does not take away from his amazing performances.
Yeah, he's got fantastic abilities as an actor.
But I can't even handle watching the old stuff anymore.
Well, I mean, that does happen.
It happens a lot.
Yep.
I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 453, According to Tony.
Mm-hmm. Which is the best according.
Yeah, I'm giving him all the credit on this one because I did not remember. He told me what the number was.
This cycle has been pretty easy to keep track of for some reason. So, yeah, this is the tail end of our absence. So, at this point, we haven't seen each other in 3 weeks. How have you been?
Oh, you know.
It feels like just a few minutes since I last saw you.
I'm not going to be doing very much in the next month. I mean,
November is the cruelest month.
As I talked about 3 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Relative to people hearing this, there was that following weekend I was going to my to the farm to see my brother and stuff. This was the weekend before Halloween. But after,
how did that go?
I'm sure it went fine. After that, there's Halloween.
Did you have that bonfire?
I won't know that until you and I get back together again.
It's been 3 weeks.
Not for us, just for them. And Halloween is going to be probably the biggest thing that happens to me between
ever.
Here and there. No, just between here and there. And you're going to be off doing stuff, but I won't be doing much of anything. I'll probably be reading Hawthorne and taking notes. Shut up.
I'll be reading The Obelisk Gate.
I'm really enjoying reading his short stories. I think they're really good.
After I finished Dispossessed, I bought the next Dying Earth book. K. Jemison. I'm excited about that. I don't think I told you last week, and now it's been 3 weeks later, but back into writing Becky James Lowenstein.
Oh.
It's not going very fast, but it is going. I'm happy about that.
That's good.
Of course, I say that. I'm not taking my laptop with me. I'm not going to be able to work on it while I'm on my trip. So definitely nothing's going to happen then. So.
Yeah, I've suspended writing for the rest of the year, but... Because I'm going to read till clear to the end of the year. I don't know what I'll read after
again.
I'm done with the short stories. I mean, I'll get that that book you keep trying to get me to read.
The Dispossessed.
Yeah, The Dispossessed. Maybe I'll get that. I don't know, though. The woman who wrote Little Women, what's her name? Alcott? Is that her last name?
Louisa May Alcott?
Yeah. Apparently, there was a time where she wrote under a pen name, as so many women back then did, so-called sensation stories or whatever.
Mm.
And I'm really, someone put them in a collection, and I'm so curious to read them to see, you know, if they're any good. So I might read, I might get my hands on that and read that. But we'll see. I mean, I'm not a particular fan of Little Women or anything, but I mean, I might.
You
like
prefer them tall?
No, I might like this other stuff that she wrote. It's funny you should say that, though, because when I was growing up, my dad, the only women he would ever point out in terms of like their appearance, you know, my dad wasn't the kind to say, "Oh, wow, she's hot" or whatever. He wasn't the kind to do that, but he would say, "Wow, she's tall." for any woman who was, I want to say 5'10" or taller, he would always point her out. Like the tallness of a woman was like the only thing he seemed to care about.
He had a type, I guess.
I mean, and she might look any other way.
Yeah,
it didn't matter. You know, it didn't matter if she was skinny or heavy set or, you know, what race she was or ethnicity or anything else.
It's way up there.
If she was if she was tall, he would just say, "Oh wow, she's tall."
Tall woman.
And he wasn't like lewd about it or anything. He just pointed out, "There's a tall woman over there." Like, I don't know if he wanted just to get us used to liking tall women because he wanted tall grandkids or something. I don't know what.
I'm betting it was very, very unconscious. That it just, for some reason, that fascinated him.
I think it did, yeah.
And so that was the thing for him.
But I mean, mom wasn't especially tall, and the woman he's married to now wasn't especially tall. Well, maybe she's a little tall, I guess. But
first of all, yeah, it may not have been an attraction issue. It could have just been a weird fascination. But also, even if it is an attraction issue, if you're not super shallow, you don't necessarily factor that in.
That's
there are
true.
Definite physical features I find especially attractive. I didn't seek them out when finding a life partner.
That's true. And my dad's not a shallow.
That being said,
not really.
I got a lot of them in the one I happened to pick, but that was just luck. My wife is hot, is what I'm saying. I have a hot wife. So I'm assuming you go around and don't comment on ladies unless they look a lot like Kate Mulgrew.
No, I don't comment.
Anytime Kate Mulgrew comes up, I have to tell people, I'm like, William likes Kate Mulgrew.
I do like Kate
Mulgrew.
Yeah,
she's cool. I'm like, no, William likes
Kate Mulgrew. What's wrong with that?
Nothing. It's just like the only... I assume you're into your wife, and other than that, it's like the only woman that I know you like got a thing for.
Kate
Mulgrew, Mrs. Columbo, yes.
I just remember.
Mrs. Columbo, you're trying to seduce me.
No, I just remember her when I was a kid. I thought, oh wow, she's amazing. And it wasn't just that she was like pretty or whatever. She was smart and she was like assertive.
I get it, man. I absolutely get it.
All that kind of stuff. And then when she was on TV again playing
Janeway,
it's like, wow, that's like the whole that
that's
same
the
thing.
only time I ever saw him, except actually now as time goes back I will watch old movies and occasionally she shows up in places, but Janeway's the first place I knew her. But yeah, no, I love her.
I do find that that thing where you see it in movies and TV all the time where a woman
commercial break.
Where they show women being attracted to men in uniform or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They almost never show men being attracted to women in uniform.
No, because by the rules of stereotyping, they are not.
But I'm attracted to women in uniform. I mean, so when I see that with women in a movie, I can totally relate to that the other way. It's like, yeah, when I see a woman who's wearing a military uniform or a police uniform or whatever, that attracts my attention.
It's a category on most porn sites. Uniforms. No, for real.
Okay,
it's one weird. Of the major categories.
Well, I think it's for me and probably women who feel that way about men or whatever. There's a certain a story that or a narrative that sort of presents itself of this person
Absolutely.
Having authority and being a take charge kind of person.
Well, no, but this is why I say it's a bigger, like, it's a category, and the category is not police uniforms, military, it's uniforms, because a lot of people associate specific outfits with specific narratives.
Yeah, right, right.
And the common ones, police uniform, military uniform, but then nurse's uniform, construction worker uniform.
Oh, I
suppose some people get into, like, judges' robes, I guess. I mean, there's lots of ones that the very nature of uniform is that you see that outfit and you associate it with that occupation and you associate that with...
Yeah, I think when it comes to a military uniform or police uniform, I associate it with assertiveness, which, you know, that's a stereotype, obviously. But it pops into my head, and so I immediately ascribe that to the person wearing the uniform, and that immediately makes me, interested in them.
I have a thing about women dressed as Victorian undertakers. Like the long black suit and the... Yeah, that's my
but
thing.
But see, as we're talking about it, I realize... If I see a woman in a lab coat like a doctor,
and that's if you got like a medical thing.
I don't
really
think about that.
And it also gets bad because some people are into the uniform, but then often there's like, and you see this in Halloween costumes, there's the sexy version. It's like, yeah, you don't look like that thing now.
No, yeah.
You don't look like a cop.
No.
You look like a stripper.
Yeah.
With a cop theme.
No, I'm
which, like, don't get me wrong, I still like you, but for different reasons.
Yeah, I'm
don't. Really attracted to women in strippers' uniforms.
Okay.
Come on, that's hilarious. What's a stripper's uniform? I don't even know.
I don't even know.
Very little, I'm assuming. That's the nature of it.
Okay, I guess.
Very little stripper uniform. But, come on, that's a funny joke. That's like saying I'm really attracted to people in nudist uniforms. I guess that's a better one.
That is still a little bit better, yeah.
I guess there are certain stereotypes associated with strippers that you could put into an outfit.
Seriously,
Sea Hustlers is a very good movie.
If there was a special uniform that comedians wore, I think I would be interested in a woman wearing a comedian's uniform because funny women are also very attractive.
You'd be surprised. No, there's... I know a comedian who does a bit about this because... There was a uniform in the 80s that men and women wore, which tended to be the turtleneck and oversized jacket. And it was very sort of like a suit kind of look. And now there is sort of one that's dressed, it's basically jeans and a schlumpy gray hoodie. Like, there's a lot of comics that just dress in their normal clothes and they're very, like... unremarkable. And it's funny because it makes the ones who don't do that stand out. So Paul F. Tompkins, such a clothes horse. He wears these most elaborate suits and things like that. But so many comedians, yeah, it's like horn-rimmed glasses. It's basically the generic hipster look. So I know a comedian has a whole bit on, like, this is the comedian look nowadays. And why that has to do with being poor, and that also has to do with the difficulty of success, because before, you had the path of the comedian. You know, you'd get on Johnny Carson, or you'd go to SNL, but nowadays, like, that doesn't work so much. I guess nowadays you do YouTube.
Also, if there was a uniform, it seems like there's... Good humor man.
I'm attracted to good humor man.
It seems like there's a stereotype for a male college professor.
Yeah.
It's not really uniform, but it's a stereotype.
Tweet, yeah.
Yeah, with patches on the elbow or whatever. But I don't know if there's one for the female college professor.
Because the stereotype is that there aren't any female college professors. That the closest you get to that is sexy librarian.
Well, okay, no.
Which is also good. I like the sexy librarian.
But if there was a stereotype for a female college professor, that would also be a uniform that would attract my attention. Because intelligence, assertiveness, and humor... are three my top three things for being attracted to a woman. And so if they were wearing a uniform that indicated that somehow, that's why it attracts my attention. So basically the only uniforms associated with those traits would be like a military or a police uniform.
So basically your perfect woman is just a female version of me.
I don't know.
Assertiveness, intelligence, and humor.
Well, my wife is all those things too, so I guess.
What uniform does she wear?
well, you know.
That would be a weird professional one. I have this thing about women who dress like my wife. Well, that would be so weird.
I don't have a thing.
It's like, dude, just go home to your wife.
Obviously, I don't
She's
have a thing.
She's dressed like your wife.
Obviously, I don't have a thing for the uniforms. I have a thing for the qualities that I think
yes.
the uniforms
represent.
And
so represent. I'm saying, if you can find a woman dressed in this shirt and these shorts
no.
and no shoes
I don't think
and a headset.
I don't...
Jackpot.
No, I don't equate you with...
And yet, when you list all the traits that you find attractive in a woman...
Because I find them attractive in a woman.
Yes, so I'm saying if you find a woman version of this...
I don't have to find a woman version of anything. I have my wife.
Full beard, glasses, bald spot on the top, all of it.
All of it.
Because then you know you're getting it. You know you're getting intelligence,
I've got
assertive...
That. Got that.
And humor.
I've got that too. Although
yeah,
my
but
wife...
you can't do this. If you found a woman that had all those things, you wouldn't say, no, I'm not interested in her because I have my wife. No, this is just another version. You like Kate Mulgrew and your wife. You're allowed to do that. I'm just saying.
No, that's
you
true.
You find a girl version of this, she's on your list.
I guess.
Probably
I
pretty
know.
High.
I guess. I don't know.
So look for it.
I don't really
like,
think about it
like
that.
Legs pretty hairless up to like the knee, but then not so much.
No, wait, you're adding things.
Yeah, no, the whole thing.
No,
that
wait.
That one discolored
there
toenail.
Things. There were
yeah.
three things.
No, but I'm saying this appearance is what is indicative of those three things.
I don't think so.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
No.
Hey, the proof is right here.
I know.
I am all this. I am those three things.
My wife is all that, and she looks nothing like you.
Well, yeah, you could find somebody who looks exactly like your wife as well. And you'd know. But I'm not saying this is the exclusive one. I am not saying that this is your only hope at being attracted. I am saying if you find a woman who looks exactly like me,
she'll have all those qualities, too.
You should be really into that.
Whatever.
I'm not saying she has to be your only one.
Okay.
I'm just saying that should be a thing.
If you say so.
Maybe we'll find a good artist to draw you a version of that. And you can put it up in your
I don't.
House. I don't know.
Even understand how that would
honestly,
work.
I don't know exactly how. Because all of my secondary sex characteristics, actually all my primary sex characteristics, are covered and you've never seen them.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know really how the female version of me would necessarily look any different than this. So, I mean, I basically look like your perfect woman if you thought I was a woman. Is what I'm saying. Like, only the fact that you know that I'm male-bodied is the only reason that I don't do it for you. Which, I mean, I respect you. You're a straight man. You know, that's a thing, and that's fine. But it must be frustrating to be like, so,
nope.
if only he was a chick.
It's not like, frustrating at all.
I feel, well, maybe now that I pointed out, it's going to be
no, because
you,
there are plenty like, of women who have those qualities.
I know,
plenty.
But like, but you see me so often. I'm like, I'm so close. If
not
only,
that close.
Like, I mean, to be so, I mean, so close, both physically and again, in terms of the qualities, like almost perfect, except for the one thing, like
those three qualities are important. And actually those three qualities are important to me for just about any kind of friend that I have, male, female, intimate, whatever. That's true. But
what if I started wearing a uniform that was not indicative of those things? Like,
no, I only like it when women wear those uniforms.
No. This is, I'm trying to offset. I'm trying to save you.
Save me.
Yeah,
save
I will wear me. Something that is not indicative of those qualities.
Oh, so you don't torture
to
me with your wonderfulness?
To offset my natural...
I think I'll survive.
You know?
I think...
magnetism.
It builds character.
It were,
don't worry.
As it were.
Don't worry. It, I can take it.
I don't...
I'll survive. I will persevere.
I'm saying...
I appreciate your concern.
I don't want the sexual tension to ruin the podcast.
No, I know.
I said it. That's what... That's.
I hear you. I can do it.
Okay. All right. We're professionals. We'll make it work.
Yes, trust
yeah,
me.
We'll get it.
It will work out.
All right.
Not to worry.
I mean, we don't... we don't have an HR.
I know.
In the podcast, so it's just, you know, we have to work these things out. But no, you're right. We've been doing this for years. We can get through this.
We can get through.
We can. It's fine. Yeah. Yep. All right.
We can do it. It's not going to get weird.
No, not at all. No, we're two buds.
Yep.
Yeah.
How about that World Series?
Yeah, local sports team.
It's over now. And
is it really? I see. Like I'm really good
now,
at ignoring. Oh, is it
by
today?
By the time this podcast airs.
Oh no. Yeah.
Is what I'm saying. It'll be over, and everybody
really
will know if either the Astros won or the Nationals won, and we know that now.
I want them to join together and be the Astro Nationals. That sounds cooler.
That's not a very masculine thing to say.
Yeah. Oh my God. Somebody at the gym recently. I had been sick, so I had been out, and he was giving me crap for it. And he's like, you just need to man up. And I'm like, nope, I never do that. Like, what? I'm like, no, I'm terrible at manning up. I never do. And he's like, it's so weird that you're so confident about that. And I seriously did the Macho Man Randy Savage thing. I said, I'm the least manly man alive. All right, we got a hat thing, right?
If anybody ever says to me, you need to grow a pair, I say, you mean ovaries?
That yeah.
Might help. All the strongest people I know have those. Anyway. Craig wants to know.
What does Craig want to know?
Why are gamers so useless?
Didn't light that candle. You'll bring the ghost. What? Why are gamers so what?
Useless. Well, this seems like a very leading question.
Yeah, there's a story behind this.
My wife is a gamer. And she is not useless. I'm going to tell you right now. She's a very useful person to me and to lots of other people.
And I'm a gamer.
Yes, you're a gamer, and you're also...
No, I'm definitely useless. No, but I will fight to the death that those are unrelated.
Okay.
Like, I am not useless because
well,
I am
why
a
does
gamer.
Craig think gamers are useless? Where does he get that idea?
I mean...
I don't know if I've ever known a useless gamer. I know that's a stereotype. You know, they stay up all night, and they don't work very hard at work because they're too tired because they stayed up all night gaming. But most of the gamers I've known are actually quite good.
There's a few
work
tacks you can take on this. There's the hypocritical route, which I'm very fond of. And in this scenario... Craig is gaming with others. We should specify. We don't know if we're talking about video games, role-playing games, board games, what. It's very different scenarios.
True, but a lot of gamers do all those things.
Yes. But in this hypothetical I have in my head, Craig is in a gaming situation with other people, and those other people have failed him.
Mm.
Be it they've Leroy Jenkins'd his raid... William literally just learned about Leroy Jenkins today.
It is so funny. Why did you have to bring it up? Now
he lost his shit all day over Leroy Jenkins.
Why did you do that? Now I'm thinking about it. It is so funny.
Why did we not talk about it an hour ago / 3 weeks ago?
So funny.
Now the whole world officially knows now. I think my parents may already know. Anyway, but like if you fucked up a raid or something like that, or...
But there were like 10 people in that scenario and only one person messed it up.
Yes. But there are times where you're like, this whole group is terrible.
Oh, okay.
Or it could be like a role-playing situation where like your group can't manage to schedule, like they flake out on the time you're supposed to do it. Or...
Well, grievers, I guess there's that.
It could be me. No, but I just mean like, okay, Tuesday we're supposed to play blah, blah, blah.
And you flake out.
And they're like, no, I have a life now because I'm a grown-up. And you're like, fuck off. I'm a grown-up too, but I'm still wasting my time with this shit. Or it could have been a GM situation where, like, I made this beautiful thing and y'all couldn't get there. I mean, I recently had a session where I had to call it because I'm like, I don't know how you not only missed the clues but, like, misinterpreted things. Like, I don't know what happened to us. I don't know where we go from here. Your character is just standing around confused, and I'm confused. Let's call it a night. And then I could see saying gamers useless. And of course, that's all hypocritical because you're also being a gamer in that situation.
Or an online game situation where everyone's shooting you as soon as you sign on. Yes. It could be that, I guess.
I don't feel like useless would be the word you would use there. Yeah, that's true. The only other version I can think of is you want to do some shit with some people who cannot / will not because they are busy gaming. And then you would be like, gamers are useless. I wanted to go on a hike or play a sport. I mean, an outside thing.
An outside thing.
But none of my friends and loved ones would because they're gaming.
That seems like an unusual type of situation.
No, I feel like it's incredibly common.
Really?
I have been the gamer in that situation many times. Hmm. Basically, anytime anyone has ever asked me to do an outside thing.
You're already gaming.
Well, I frequently use that as an excuse.
Well, but not everybody they know is doing that, probably.
No, just the gamers. See, gamers are useless.
Yeah.
It's not why is everyone I know useless
of gaming. But if they wanted to do something and only one person said they couldn't because they were gaming, would that really bother them so much?
No. It has to be a situation where like a lot of you...
Yeah.
Because here's the thing we have to remember. Craig is a gamer.
He is, okay.
So, it's just a measure of severity. He could still be on the lower end of gaming and still like to do the occasional outside thing, but all of his other friends are gamers that are hardcore. And I should say, I think this is less likely. I think the earlier scenarios are more likely.
But you don't think gamers as a group are useless in any kind of sense?
I mean...
Useless how, I wonder.
No, in that I think humans as a group are pretty useless.
Okay.
And there's nothing special about the gaming variety. I constantly struggle with the idea of the false productivity associated with these games.
Okay.
On a personal level.
Okay.
That I will put many hours into it doing what amounts to nothing.
I mean, you could see it that way, I guess.
But there is an entertainment value. There is, in some cases, potentially mental exercise value, creative value.
It's social.
Not the way I play.
I mean, you're getting together with friends and...
No. Well, no, I'm not talking about role-playing games. Oh. I'm talking about video games.
Oh, video games, okay.
I'm talking about video games. No, role-playing games, I totally love that. That's just interactive group storytelling. Yeah. That, to me, is beautiful.
Yeah.
No, a video game.
Okay.
I've put a bunch of hours into Assassin's Creed Origins.
Okay, sure.
And I'm like, it's been fun.
Yeah.
But I haven't really done anything, and I totally feel like I've done a lot.
Yeah, right.
And I struggle with this. And I mean, I absolutely find value in the games.
Sure, you wouldn't do it.
But it's a constant balance issue. Yeah, and it's like, why... I won't play World of Warcraft anymore, even though I've been tempted to play it again. Because that game is built to addict you to the feeling like you're accomplishing things.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not accomplishing shit.
I don't know. Those guys talking to each other before Leroy did his thing, they seemed to think they were accomplishing quite a bit.
Well, and again, when it's with the people and it's a social thing or whatever, that's potential. But that's not how I play those games at all.
Yeah.
So that's, in some ways you could say I was useless that way, but yeah, we don't know what you're getting at, Craig. You're freaking us out.
I can't think of a way that gamers are useless. I mean, what you're talking about, if something a gamer is doing is a quote unquote waste of time, I suppose, but how does that make them useless in a general sense, like to other people other than themselves? Is it because they should be doing something around their house instead? I don't know.
This has to be specific. Like, Craig, who hurt you? Like, show us on the doll where the gamer was no use. Like,
I don't understand.
Something happened. If you're Craig, go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com, and tell us what. That's what we're basically saying, Craig, is what?
My experience is there are exceptions, but as a rule, gamers are actually the opposite of useless. They're very smart, usually.
You haven't known that many gamers, though.
I have, too. I've known lots of gamers my whole life. I didn't play a lot of games myself, but a lot of my friends were gamers, and they were always very smart, very helpful.
Yeah, you talk about these friends growing up.
Very industrious.
Give me some names.
I mean, you talk, and even you talk about yourself being useless or lazy or whatever.
Jerry Cheeseman.
But
Jerry Dunger.
You're very good at your job. A lot of people appreciate you. You put effort into making work fun for people.
I know the guy you're talking about. I don't buy that. Okay. I've met him.
But most of the people I've known who are gamers are they're not useless at all. They're the exact opposite.
Useful.
Yeah, they do all kinds of things. Look at Dave Avid, for example. He's like...
Dave Avid's insane.
Gamer extraordinaire, and he's always doing useful things.
Yeah, I feel like role-playing games becomes a whole different animal.
Maybe that's true.
And especially because I think within role-playing games, it becomes a whole different animal. Like, certain gamers who are into certain types of games and play a certain way are more or less useful than certain gamers who are into other types of games and play a certain way.
Do you think the group of gamers, self-identified gamers, who don't do role-playing games, is that a very big group? Do you think?
Yeah, just like video gamers. Yeah. Role-playing games is a small percentage of people.
Is it?
Video games is huge. Video games is an enormous industry.
I mean, because like my wife, I mean, she mostly plays video games, but she likes playing role-playing games. Yep. She would like to do it more. So for her, most gameplay is kind of the same.
Video games, tabletop role-playing games, board games, card games.
Yeah, she likes all that stuff.
There is a potential in all of them to get the same thing, depending on what you want out of it.
Yeah.
There are some things that you definitely can't get out of one variety or the other. You can't.
So if you're very specialized.
So why you're playing it.
Yeah.
And this becomes a thing where you hit hybrid points, like video games that want you to play a role, or those enormous, usually by Fantasy Flight, board games that take like 8 hours to play and have intricate story and plot and character and advancement and stuff like that.
Right.
For some people, that's a perfect spot between just playing regular board games and playing the type of role-playing game they like to play.
Right.
For somebody like me, it's fun and for a different reason, but like nothing about that scratches the same itch that tabletop role-playing does for me.
Oh, okay.
I'm not in it. There's some really interesting theory out there on gaming and what types of games and what people want out of them. And I think I talked before about the GNS theory, which is the one that I stood up as the gamist versus narrativist versus simulations. Apparently there have been a few iterations of theory that there's a much cleaner and more considered a better model than that model now. But I still think a lot in those terms.
And some people can like more than one.
Arguably, it's very hard to just like one. And there's seldom a game that fits just one category.
Right.
But there's ones that tend to be heavier involved.
But you would say that the role-playing game, if you put all the gamers in a room, the ones that are role-playing gamers is not a large group in that bigger group of gamers?
Not compared to the sum total of people who play video games. No.
Oh, wow.
No.
Okay.
The people who play video games, and that's, and I mean, there's cutoffs there. Are we including just people who play consoles or people who use the regular computer for it? Are we including people who play mobile gaming and things like that? Mm. But I mean, all of these numbers are in the hundreds of millions and maybe even billions.
Huh.
The video game industry in terms of money is essentially the size of the film industry at this point.
Yeah, I've heard that. That's true.
Whereas the role-playing game industry, not so much.
Yeah, I didn't think about it in terms like that, but probably right. You're probably right.
It's having something of a resurgence.
But you wouldn't.
But
of course you wouldn't say that. You wouldn't say that someone who enjoys action RPG video games is an RPG gamer. You wouldn't put them in that category.
I personally wouldn't. A lot of other people would. But, yeah, I consider an RPG video game to not be the same thing as a tabletop role-playing
game. That sounds
game.
Right to me. That sounds right to me.
And I get into this problem with the word gamer. I'll have people be like, oh, you're a gamer. And I'm like, yeah. And they mean something that is not necessarily what I mean. Mm-hmm. Like, a lot of times they'll be like, you're a gamer. I'm like, yeah, I got this group. I GM once a week. And they're like, oh, no, I meant, like, you play, like, Call of Duty and something. Like, okay, yeah, I do play video games, but, I mean, yeah, I guess we have that in common. That's not what I cared about, though. And
Yeah.
And, like, yeah, I've got some gamer friends who don't like role-playing games at all and don't play a lot of video games. They love board games. And I go hang out. Trish and I go. It's a married couple. And we go hang out with them and have dinner and play a bunch of games every once in a while. And they have a great time with that. And it's fun, too, but it's a very different thing.
I'm trying to think if there's a type of game that my wife prefers.
I mean, we've discussed. I feel like there's a certain type of video game she tends to prefer.
Yeah.
She's very much into.
She likes creating her own character.
She likes base building. She tends to like open world.
And she likes
sandbox games.
She likes also if the character arc has moving into like a leadership role, and she likes it for there to be a moral component that's going to impact the gameplay.
Yeah, see, and I feel like those are much finer and more nuanced things than a lot of people consider when they consider that kind of stuff. Mm. I've been thinking about it, though. Like, there's a game that recently came out called Greedfall. And it looks really cool on a certain level. It's very much in the way of, like, the Dragon Age games and stuff like that. It's very much an open world where you make a lot of companions and your actions make some of them like you better or not like you and things like that. Mm-hmm. And it's set in this cool fantasy world that's basically 18th century Earth, but it's a fantasy version. And you're going to this island that is recently sort of being colonized and whatever, and you're there to sort of try and make that work and deal with all the various factions. There's the people who are there for the resources and the people who are native to the area, and then the colonists and stuff like this. And apparently it's pretty cool, but it's really taking on this concept of colonialism, and apparently the story is not doing shit with that. Mm. And so I'm like, this sounds really cool as a game, but I think I would be disappointed by that it might ruin the gameplay for me. And sometimes that's the case and sometimes not. And I've talked before about there are some games that are really fun to play, and then there are some games that are really fun to go through because the story is really interesting. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And when you can get both, I get really excited, like a Mass Effect or an Assassin's Creed or a Horizon Zero Dawn, where both aspects are really cool.
Sure, sure. Yeah.
All right. Well, we should wrap this up. Because I'm tired.
You look tired, as a matter of fact.
Well, part of my eyes look bad. My eyes have been irritated lately, really bad. But I am tired. I hadn't been sleeping well. Last night I finally slept well, but that was my first night in a while, so I'm not really there yet. But yeah, my eyes are fucked up right now, so.
Sorry.
So, everyone, I mean, for you just wait a week and it's back. For us, this is a thing.
Yeah, a month, man.
We're gone a long time, so.
That's going to be weird.
Hopefully some of it made sense to you, and like, by now you've already experienced all that other shit. I didn't explain the episode this time. If you got this far, don't listen to the remaining minute of this episode. Go back and listen to episode 450 to understand.
The next three episodes for them, I think, will be a little weird.
They'll be weird for us, but, I mean, it won't be the next three from here. This is the third.
Yeah,
of the three.
But I'm saying that next week is going to be the first one that we did 3 weeks ahead of time. Next week.
Our next week. Not by the time they're hearing this, what we're
that's
saying.
That's right. I forgot which one we were recording for.
This is the third of the one, we did.
So this is the third, but the previous two and this one
were weird,
are going to be weird.
This is probably weird. And they'll come back and be normal for a hot second and then weird again.
Just for a little bit, though.
Yeah, it'll calm down close to Christmas. oh, my God.
It's right around the corner, brother. Can you believe it?
I cannot. I refuse. I think it's still May 2002.
Those gamers are so useless.
Useless gamers. All right. If you're a useless gamer, go to the blog, magictalkinghat.com, and tell us why you're useless. Or not. I mean, go with that, too.
You know who's useless? That Leroy Jenkins.
Leroy Jenkins.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.